in me says, here I am. Carl and I have had a great time. We actually moved stuff into the house on the 10th of June, so we've been able to be here for a little while. It means that this week we weren't living out of boxes like many other of my peers are, and those families are still trying to find, I don't know, the spatula or their brown shoes or whatever it is that they can't find. We are so delighted to be in this town and to be in this church. When we first came over, the day before the balloon festival, we came over, rode on the balloon that morning. Thanks, Brenda. And when we first came over the bridge that day before, we both had this incredible sigh of relief. It was like, oh my goodness, this is like coming home. I grew up in Cocoa, and so when I would cross the bridge to go to Cocoa Beach when I was growing up, it was different than it is now. Ron Johns was a little tiny shack. And I believe that he was in another country because he was trying to keep away from the law. Things have changed since I grew up. I'm old. So we're grateful for the welcome, and we look forward to meeting you not just next week, but in all the weeks to come. This week, I want to start a 4-week sermon series on Jonah. Jonah is a wonderful story, and if we asked, most children could tell us the story of Jonah. When did you first hear the story of Jonah, do you think? Before kindergarten? Vacation Bible school or Sunday school before that, even in kindergarten. And it was a fascinating story. The problem is, for some of us, is that we've let the power and the meaning of the story of Jonah be a pre-kindergarten worldview. It was a fascinating story, but oh my goodness, it is important. It has got great power for us as adults, and so I'm going to invite you over the next 4 weeks to enjoy Jonah from an adult perspective. Almost all the interaction that congregations have with ministers about Jonah is, do you think it really happened? That's the extent of the questioning, the connection we have, most of us, to Jonah. And for me, it feels a little bit like that question from the Middle Ages, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? I don't know. I don't care. Jonah is a great story. Did it really happen? Well, here's what I know. If it really happened the way it says it in the book, it was a miracle because fish don't have a pocket of air inside them that allows somebody to go in and get 3 days worth of oxygen. So either Jonah had gills, that was an exceptional fish, or God did something amazing. But to be quite honest, it doesn't matter to me whether it actually happened or not. There is truth here that is visible for us, whether it happened physically or not. If it happened, as they told the story, when they wrote it down in the Hebrew scriptures, they knew that people don't survive underwater for 3 days. They knew the story was miraculous. They probably knew it was also a great story and worth the telling. I am looking so forward to the fourth Sunday in this sermon series where I get to show you why it's a great story. This week, we start with the first chapter of Jonah. Each week, we'll read each chapter, and so we'll go through all four chapters. You'll hear in worship every verse of the story of Jonah. This morning, we start Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, and we do the 17 verses of the first chapter. Listen, this is the word of God for us this day. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Do we have the words up there? All right, now, if you had your Bible open, do you have your Bible open? Shake your head yes if you've got a Bible open. In your Bible, the one who waved her hand, tell me your name.
I'm Marie.
if you had your Bible open and you looked at the print, the word Lord in this particular place would be in small caps, but all capital letters. It would be distinguished from other normal typing the word Lord. It's very important. It's telling us something very important about the original language. When it says Lord in all capital letters like that, it means the word in the Hebrew is Yahweh. Those four letters that you do not say. The name of God that out of the burning bush God said, tell them I am who I am. Yahweh. So in this story, we use the name of God we learn from the burning bush. The word of the Lord, the word of Yahweh came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, from away from the presence of the Lord. But Yahweh hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to their God, small g to his God. They threw the cargo that was on the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. The whole reason for the voyage was to take that cargo from one place to the other. They abandoned all of their purpose in this very moment. Save me, save me. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. The captain came and said to him, what are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps the God will spare us a thought so that we do not perish. The sailors said to one another, come, let us cast lots so that we may know on whose account this calamity has come upon us. We're going to get God's voice by throwing dice or pulling. So they cast lots. And the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us why this calamity has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? We want to know the reason, and we want to know now. I am a Hebrew, he replied. I worship Yahweh, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were even more afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them so. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. He said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great storm has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to land, and they could not, for the sea grew more and more stormy against them. Then they cried out to Yahweh, please, Yahweh, we pray, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Do not make us guilty of innocent blood, for you, O Yahweh, have done as it pleased you. So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased its raging. Then the men feared Yahweh even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. But Yahweh provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. 3 days and three nights. If you don't get that as foreshadowing for another event, throughout all of the Hebrew scriptures up until this very point in scripture, God was local. early in Genesis, the people tried to build a tower so they could get close to God and so they could be God. It seemed like almost every tribe around them had a god or gods of their tribe. Every family seemed to have their own gods. They carried around idols. And this one was a little different, but they all seemed to do religion in that same tribal way. Consider the story of Exodus. God was on the mountaintop with Moses, and the people down below didn't experience God at all. So they decided they needed God, and let's build us a calf. Let's make us a god. That didn't go over well. And then, as the Exodus is happening, God shows God's presence, God's self, in a pillar of clouds during the day and a pillar of fire during the night, so that the people always could see where God was. They took the tablets that Moses brought down from the mountain and they put them in an ark. They put God in a box. And they thought that God was in the box, and they carried God around every time they needed God. They brought out the box. And they wanted to cross the water, they brought the box. If they wanted to defeat a tribe or a... God was in a very specific place. Later, we take that ark and we put it in the Holy of Holies. Nobody else can go in there. God is in this very place. God was local. The story of Jonah actually addresses this very belief that God was limited to a place and we can be closer to God based on where we are. Have you ever been to a mountaintop and been able to look down at clouds? It's a pretty awe-raising experience, to the point where I can understand why folks thought it's closer to God. The story of Jonah sets the foundation for a different truth, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of Moses and David is not limited to a place. This is one of the main themes of Jonah. Tell me that this isn't better news than Jonah can be in a fish for 3 days. God is not limited to a place, which means wherever we are, God is there. In our deepest, darkest despair, God is there. No matter where we go, God is there and has been there before us. It's a really nice story with deeper truths worth exploring. Well, I believe that God can do whatever God wants to do. I don't need for this story to be factually or scientifically true for me to understand that there are deeper truths here. We can hear God's voice in this story, and we can see humanity's story with God here as well. This story still speaks to us. Each week over the next 4, I will bring you a key to the truth about God that we see unfold in the story of Jonah and the great fish. One of the keys to the story of Jonah is that a prophet cannot escape their call. When you are called, you can't run away from God. We cannot escape our call. God calls us all. We're not all called to be prophets, but all of us have a God purpose. God has a dream for each and every one of us. And God uses that dream like little pieces of a puzzle. And when we all work together and do what we're gifted and called to do, we do amazing things as the body of Christ that no one could do without us. We can change the world. When we, United Methodists, put our hearts to a particular mission like Imagine No Malaria, we have the possibility, just us United Methodists, of wiping out malaria from the face of the earth. God does amazing things when we follow God's call. We cannot escape that divine purpose that God has for us. We all have a calling to fulfill. One of the questions that always rises up in me as I work through the first chapter of Jonah, because it doesn't say in the story, Why did God choose Jonah? You have to think, if God did that to you, that you would go, why me? Moses did. Why me? In 3 more weeks, I'll tell you why Jonah. There is one verse that's like rolling on the timpani, and you get it, and then you crash the cymbals, and the fireworks go off, and the trumpets blaze, because it's the reason why Jonah is so incredible. It's a beautiful story that children love, but I'm telling you, there is magic in this book. Let us pray. Lord, help us to hear your call in our lives, and if we miss it the first time, call us again and again and again. We want to be yours. We love you. Amen.